Yes, it's Gardening Talk Back Time, and this week I'm joined by Scott Sharp. Hello.
Good afternoon, Amanda.
Nice to have you.
Nice to be here. It's quite nice out there at the moment.
It's not too bad. It's going from cloudy to a little bit sunny, back to cloudy. So hopefully all those gardeners can still get out and do some stuff in the garden.
If you couldn't get out there on Saturday and Sunday in the beautiful weather, a little bit of rain as well, just to, you know, set it all apart. Yeah, what a great weekend for gardening. I thought this week we'd talk about magnolias. They're out in flower at the moment, looking spectacular around Newcastle and the Hunter. I'm getting ready to plant potatoes and also your spring bulbs. Time to get out to your local garden centre to check those out.
And we've got Rod from Belmont on the line. Thanks for holding, Rod. You'd like to know what's good to fertilise a lemon tree to make it bloom and productive.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Just that simple.
Easy peasy.
How old's the poor old plant, Rod?
It's probably 10 years old.
Okay.
I just noticed the last couple of seasons it hasn't been as productive.
Mm-hmm.
And I really haven't looked after it, so I just want to give it a boost.
Ooh, smack on the wrist there, Rod. But look, we'll give you some advice just to help you out and get it get it going again for you. Look, all year round, I reckon you need to be feeding citrus trees. And it's in the ground, is it? I should have asked that.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, mate.
It's in a good location. Yeah.
Now I get the smack on the wrist for not asking all the right questions. Look, you just need to be giving it all year round with poultry manure. They love poultry manure, so that's something you can be doing, probably once every 3 months. Now, the only caveat with that one is that when you see the citrus start to set flower on there, a little bit of bloom on there, you wouldn't necessarily go and give it a fertiliser with poultry manure at that point in time. So it might be it might be only three times a year that you'd be giving it poultry manure. And I'm not talking just like a light sprinkle, mate. I'm saying, like, give it heaps. Go and buy a bag of poultry. If it's a big tree, you might even give it two. And, you know, get it right around that drip line of the plant. Make sure it's not piling up against the trunk. You certainly don't want that. Otherwise, you'll get collar rot. Plenty of poultry manure. You'll have a much better plant. Water that in. You can gently till it into the soil if you want to. And then the other thing you want to be doing is, prior to the flowering season, you want to go and get some sulfate of potash. Now, what that does, it promotes the fruiting and flowering of the plant. So you'll get more flowers, you'll get stronger flowers, you'll get better fruit out of it. So that's the main thing to be doing at that point in time. Look, also, if you want to, you can give your plant a bit of a prune back as well, because lemons can get, 3 to 4 metres tall. They just get too tall. You know, your fruit's all up the top. How do you get it? You kill yourself, climbing the ladder up there. So, once it's finished its main fruiting season, you can give it a good old hard prune back. It promotes new growth. You'll just get a better overall plant.
Right. Thank you very much.
Not a problem, Rod, and thank you for the phone call.
God bless, mate. Have a great day.
You too. Cheers. You.
Bye. Next, we have Lynn from Hawk's Nest. How can we help you, Lynn?
You've just helped me a little bit to start with, because I've got a lemon tree in a pot and it's very sad. It's only 2 years old, but it has got new little growth on it. And you've just given me some very useful information.
I'm glad you've told me that it's in a pot, though, Lynn, because when you've got a citrus tree in a pot, you wouldn't be using poultry manure. It's just going to burn the bejesus out of the poor little plant.
God.
So, for you, slow-release fertiliser, like the pelletised poultry manure, and also liquid fertiliser. You can be using Thrive if you want to, any of those, ones like the old-fashioned Thrive, those sort of granular ones that you mix up in the watering can.
Got an old box of that around somewhere.
I think everyone has got an old box of that in their shed somewhere. So, look, nice and regular with your liquid fertiliser. You can do that every couple of weeks if you want to. You'll get a much...
I'm very glad I asked.
Much healthier plant.
And so's my plant. My question is, I have several pots of Jonquil's daffodils that have been potted for quite many years. And no, I don't lift them. I did try that 1 year and it was a lot of drama for a great deal of production. But what I find is I get a great deal of green leaf stem out of it. But last year I got so few flowers, and each year it seems to be diminishing. Now, what can I put on it to actually get more flower spikes on it, I guess?
Yeah, so look, exactly what we're talking to Rod about as well.
These are in pots as well, too,
yeah,
by the way.
That's fine, yep. And look, you know, you might remember I mentioned sulfate of potash when I was talking to Rod about his lemon tree. Look, exactly the same.
I'm staring at a bag of it right now.
Oh, fantastic. Everyone should have one in their shed. Look, get in and start using that. I think the thing with sulfate of potash, though, is that you really need to be using it almost preemptively. So when you start to see the green of the shoot coming out from the top of the soil with your bulbs, that's when you'd get in and start using it at that point in time.
Okay.
Yeah, no harm in using it now, just to see what happens. It might give them the old electric shock and promote some flowering. So keep on using that. The thing with sulfate of potash is that it essentially moves through the soil. It's not stored there. So important to use it on a regular basis. You know, every month or so. With bulbs, probably not so important because they're dormant for half the year anyway. So you just be pouring it through the soil. So for that period of time prior to your bulbs, coming up out of the ground, that's when you'd start using the sulfate of potash.
Now, having said that, the fact that they've got a lot of greenery on them already, I still give it to them now at just a reasonable rate of sprinkling over top and watering in.
Yeah, look, exactly as it says on the instructions for the application on the one that you've got, because you can get liquid potash. You can get ones that you mix up and turn into liquid. You can get that you've got where you sprinkle it and water it in. So, as soon as possible, as soon as you put down the phone, we want to know that you're out there, giving your bulbs some potash.
Will do.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Lynn.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Cheers. Bye.
And we've got Adrian on the line from Singleton. Hi, Adrian. You've got a mite issue. What's going on?
Yes. I thought it was snail. So I put some snail baits out on the strawberries, and I studied it further, and a tiny little mite flies in and sits on the strawberry berry itself and has a wonderful time.
So it's like a little thrip or something like that that's coming in there and having a feast, is it? Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Look, I guess your problem with treating those sort of insects when you've got the fruit on the plant, Adrian, is that there's always going to be a withholding period if you start using, let's call them, really harsh and heavy chemicals. So when you've got a situation like that, you really just need to be using something like pyrethrum. You can go down to your local garden centre. They'll have it in many different, like aerosol, or they'll have it that you can mix it up. And I'd probably just do it like that, where you can mix it up in some water and then spray it around. Look, it is a contact spray, so you'd have to see the little beasties when they come in and land, and that's when you go out and spray at that point in time. Look, that's not to say that, it might not act as a little bit of a preventative, but it's a contact. Yeah, pyrethrum. It's a natural product. It's made from pyrethrum daisies.
Right.
Now, the great thing about it, it's nice and safe. It's a natural product. That be said, always look at the information, the fact sheet on the particular product, and make sure that there's no withholding period. But with a natural product like that, not something you necessarily have to.
Because I googled at night, and they said to use Mortein.
No, I don't think I'd be. No, look, now the trouble with using Mortein and those sort of aerosols, and thank you, Dr. Google, you're so very, very helpful. Look, the trouble with doing that is it's a cold aerosol, and you most likely burn the plants away just by the propellant coming out of the Mortein. I don't know what's in Mortein that you might want to be eating it. It's not something you'd go and put on your Weet-Bix in the morning or something like that. So I wouldn't be putting it on the strawberries. Look, if you're ever in doubt, don't trust Dr. Google. Always go down to your local garden centre. There's experts down there, actual qualified people who know what they're talking about. They've also got experience. Your local garden centre is a much better place to go than going onto Google.
Well, thank you for your time.
That is all right, Adrian. Thanks for the call, mate.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay,
okay, we've got Sandra from Swansea. Hi, Sandra. How can we help you?
Oh, hello. How are you today?
Yeah, it's very well, Sandra. How can we help you?
I'm just listening to you talk about the citrus trees, which we do have a lemon and a lime.
Mm.
But can you please tell me whether the same applies to the finger lime tree.
Yes. Look at
the chook manure.
Yeah, I'd just be careful. Finger limes are a little native plant to, you know, here and up in New Guinea. I'd just actually be a little bit careful about, you know, pouring lots and lots of poultry manure. I'd be actually using blood and bone for a finger lime, just something that's a little bit more gentle on a native plant. It's not going to burn the insides out of the poor old thing.
Yep, excellent. Because I always hear people talking about the citrus trees, but no one ever seems to talk about the finger lime. So that's very interesting. It's great. That's
Look, really the most you do is give it a light sprinkling. I often don't say that to people because, you know, if I'm in there making a cake or something, you know, because I do that all the time at home, always making cakes, you know, I'm always putting in more sugar, you know, or more of this. And that's what people always do. They always think, oh, no, I'll just put in a little bit more of that. And all of a sudden you've burnt your plant. So, yeah, with finger limes, I'll just be using blood and bone, nice and safe for it.
Perfect. No, that's terrific. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks for that,
Sandra. Can I just ask a question about a passion fruit?
Absolutely.
So all the leaves are yellow, or gone a bit yellow. There's some green shoots in that coming out, but it's kind of like it was deciduous. It lost all its leaves and they're kind of, it doesn't really look that healthy. There's still all the spindly vine there, but with no leaves on it. Do you think that, what can I feed the passion fruit vine?
Yeah, look, I'll just be giving it some cow manure. Look, but at this time of year, it's not unusual for, remember, they're a tropical plant. You know, it's the old thing. We're used to being able to buy things in the fruit shop all the time now. So we just think, yeah, the plant's going to survive as well. But look, it's a tropical plant. They don't necessarily like, you know, our winters down here. I would wait, you know, probably 2 or 3 weeks, then give it some cow manure around where you know where the stem is going into the ground. And feed it up that way. But otherwise, just leave the yellow leaves on there. They're protecting against any cold that might settle on any new foliage that comes out. But look, they're as tough as nails. Just keep the water up to it. Fertilise in about 2 to 3 weeks and you'll have passion fruits again.
Fabulous. Thank you very much. Have a lovely day.
Okay, you too, Sandra. Cheers.
Bye. Bye-bye. We've got Kerry from Blackalls Park on the line. Hi, Kerry. Oh, you've got a bell ringing.
Sorry, it was my other phone.
Oh, that's all right. So you want to talk about your hibiscus?
Yes. I bought a hibiscus last spring and I planted it, but it hasn't grown at all. I have to admit I haven't really looked after it. I just water it and dig around. But, yeah, it just hasn't grown at all. It hasn't died, but it hasn't grown. I'm just wondering what I could feed it with.
Yeah, so have you got that hibiscus in a pot or in the ground, Kerry?
In the ground.
Yeah.
In the ground.
Okay, look, they also love cow manure. So if you're down your local garden centre, grab a bag of the old cow poo and you can sprinkle that around the hibiscus as well and water it in. Nicely. Look, what's happened? They're a tropical plant, essentially. You know, see on my Magnum PI when you're watching that, you know, in Hawaii. So here in winter, they're just not going to do too well. They're not going to die on you, but they will, you know, sort of just go a little bit stagnant or dormant, I guess is the way to describe it. So the fact that it's, you know, hasn't done too well, you know, this last few months, don't be worried about that. Look, I just go and grab some cow manure, wait about 2 or 3 weeks again until, you know, we start to feel that spring weather, you know, the days getting longer. Sprinkle that around, water it in, and then you should be fine. You just got to look after it. Like, you've admitted to us, Kerry, that you don't look after the poor thing very well.
I know, I'm terrible. The trouble is I've had plants that I don't really need to look after. So now I'm thinking I'm going to have to look after this one.
Well, look, if you've rung up here, we're going to give you a shellacking about the care of your poor old hibiscus. So, if you do that, some water, some cow manure. They actually are a pretty tough old plant. But, yeah, winter here in Newcastle and the Hunter, they're not going to like it too well.
Okay, well, I'll do that. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Kerry.
Thank you, Kerry. Bye. Let her answer the phone. We've got Stephen from Kerry Bay on the line. Thanks for holding, Stephen. How can we help you?
Excuse me. I've got a plant, so I think I've got the right name for their collis plant.
Yes.
They need plenty of... I've had a few plants. A couple of them were in pots. So I've had them for years, and in the summertime, I was... had watering once a day. They were thriving. I had to cut them back all the time, and I got a couple in the actual ground. But just recently, over a colder period of time, there seemed to be something was eating them, and the birds were attacking them, and mm-hmm. they just look terrible at the moment. And then I've tried to cut them back, but just wondering whether they'll come back or whether they're overcrowded in these pots or have they seen their day out.
No. So, look, Stephen, just to make sure we're talking about the right plant. These are coleus, the ones you've got like a red colours or, you know, sort of purpley coloured to the leaves?
These ones are green, like a green,
yep.
yellow and purple all in the one leaf.
Yeah, okay. So, look, we're not talking apples and oranges. We're talking about the same thing, so that's important.
Yep.
Look, don't be a little bit disheartened at the moment, because coleus don't necessarily like the winter here in Newcastle and the Hunter. Again, they're going to sort of go dormant. It must be something about this time of year. Everything's just, you know, a little bit tired and wants to have a bit of a snooze. But
like people.
Yeah. Stephen, once we get through to spring again, and I've got to say, here we are, first week of August already. It's only a couple of weeks away and the days are getting longer and whatnot. So you're going to start to see an improvement in those plants. Don't go pruning them back or anything at the moment. Just keep on generally watering them. Again, towards the end of this month, that's when you might go and start to fertilise them with a liquid fertiliser. You'll just start to see new growth coming on them, you know,
I've been feeding them sea salt and a bit of liquid fertiliser every couple of weeks, but no, I mean, I sprayed them with something, but they just don't seem to want to respond at the moment. So. Yeah,
but look at that, and they will come back for you. Like I said, it's just, we just need that turn in the weather. Sea salt's great for the root system of plants, won't necessarily help the foliage. So you've got these really, you know, sort of foliage-intensive plants there, so sea salt's not going to harm them, but go and grab something else from your local garden centre that you know, has a little bit more nitrogen in it, is going to actually feed up the leaf system of the plant. And like I said, once it warms up, you're going to have some beautiful plants again.
Yeah, and they're easy to sort of propagate, to, you know, like start a new lot off. I just get them, cut them, put them in the ground and look after them, then you've got a whole new plant within a month or so, just come on.
Yeah, look, I think they're one of those old plants, you know, the old expression, you could, you know, just pinch a cutting off there, because they are that soft, fleshy plant. You could almost go and pinch, you know, a cutting off there and stick it in the ground, and they do take off. So, lovely foliage plant, nice and easy to look after, but you need the warmer months, mate.
Yeah, all right, they give a good bit of privacy where I am too, which is good.
Excellent.
Okay, mate. Thanks very much.
Okay, appreciate the call, Stephen.
Thanks, Stephen. Bye. Bye-bye. This is Gardening Talkback, and we've got Bernadette from Berry Park on the line. Hi, Bernadette. How can we help you?
I have a passion fruit vine which had flowers but no fruit. So I just wanted to find out whether it's all right to cut back now.
Oh, I'd leave it alone at the moment, Bernadette. Look, you're up at Berry Park. You know, we still could, I don't know, we might get a frost, who knows. With the weather at the moment, it's all up in the air. But I would just leave everything as it is until we get to around the end of August. And then you would go and give it a cut back at that point in time. Now, look, the reason I say that is because the foliage, if you cut back now, you're going to immediately get some, you know, within 2 or 3 weeks, some new growth out of that plant. It's going to be very tender. It's going to be very soft. So if it's still frosty, or we get a very cold night, all that new foliage is going to be burnt back, and you're setting back your plant anyway.
Right.
I'll just leave the foliage that's on there now as a little protective layer. Okay, it might look a little bit ugly, but, you know, so be it. And then, yeah, wait that 3 weeks or so and then give it the cut back to promote the new growth.
So no fruit. Obviously, that's because we've had no bees. Is that right?
Look, that could be an issue, but you'd usually, were you getting flowers or just no fruit setting from those?
No, I'm getting plenty of flowers, but just no fruit.
Yeah, that could be a pollination issue in that case. Look, it depends how keen you are. If you want to get out there with the old paintbrush and start doing some self-pollinating that way. Look, I've been talking to people about sulfate of potash. It just promotes strong and healthy flowering. So go down to your local garden centre and grab some of that as well and start watering that into the soil. You want a passion fruit in Newcastle on the Hunter to try and flower as quickly as possible. And that's because we just don't get that long season for it to ripen. And often on Gardening Talkback, you know, we get to around April, May, and people are ringing up going, oh, I've got this fruit on there, but, it's still green and it won't turn purple or whatever. And you go, well, bad luck, pick it off. It's all happened too late. So you need to promote your fruiting and flowering and your passion fruit, Newcastle and the Hunter, ASAP. So sulfate of potash for that. Wait 3 or 4 weeks and then give it a good old cutback and you'll have a beautiful plant.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for the call. Cheers.
Bye. You're listening to Gardening Talkback and we've got Andrew from Katara on the line. Thanks for holding, Andrew. You want to talk about strawberries?
Yes, please. I have a veg pod, 2 metres by 1 metre. It's covered in strawberry plants. And I'm just wondering, there's obviously not flowering at the moment, but I'm just wondering whether I could replant and I want to freshen the soil up. Wonder if I could take them out, put some new soil in, a bit of cow manure, and then replant it, if that'd be a wise thing to do.
Yeah, look, you're partly there. You might have just gone one step too far, so we'll get to that in a sec, and that's to do with putting in with the cow manure. Certainly you can refresh your soil. Strawberries, when you go and buy them, at your garden centre, they actually sort of come in bare-rooted. So they're pretty tough old plant, especially, when they're in that semi-dormant stage at this time of year. So pulling them out, it's not going to really harm them. Give them a little bit of a cutback as well if you need to.
Sure.
No problem there. Look, it depends what you're going to do with your cow manure. If you were to sort of, let's say, pre-mix, your cow manure with the soil over a couple of weeks and turn it over, you just want that heat to go out of the cow manure. I don't necessarily mean heat, but you might get some of that there. It just needs to sort of calm down before you start planting directly in it, because if you stick your strawberries back into that cow manure-y sort of mix that hasn't cooled down, it'll immediately, within a few days, start sending out fine little hair roots because the plant goes, oh, I'm back in the soil. I'm getting watered by Andrew. Time to start growing again. And those fine little hair roots will go down into the cow manure. They'll go, oh, ouch, this is really burning me. It'd be like, going over, into the Pacific Islands and doing, sort of the hot coal walk for the poor old plant. So
just wouldn't like it.
Just wouldn't like it. So, but if you do want to pre-mix your cow manure and get it out and, till it over, over a period of a week or 2 weeks, then I think you could put your strawberries directly back into that cooled down mix, let's put it that way.
Understand.
Yeah, doing that, you're going to have a really nice crop of strawberries again for the upcoming season.
Oh, that's great advice. I can do that. I can take them out and I'll do that. I'll pre-mix it and leave it for a couple of weeks because I've got wild strawberries running along my fence and I just let them go. I don't touch them. A bit of watering here and there and they're just so big and juicy. So it's obviously a good plant that I got from a friend of mine. So, yeah.
Yeah, and even if you are setting them out, for a couple of days, you could just put some newspaper or some hessian sack over them, just keep them watered.
Cool.
Yeah, and they won't die off in you. They might, you might get some shriveling of some leaves, but, essentially they're going to come back once you stick them back in the soil.
Fantastic advice. Really appreciate that.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Andrew.
Bye.
Thank
you. Bye. Okay, now you were going to talk about magnolias.
Oh, yes, magnolias. I had a bit of a rave about them on Friday morning when I was talking to Todd, because, look, they are out and about at the moment. And you can see when you're driving around Newcastle and the Hunter, all the pink and mauve and white flowered ones you can get as well. They're a nice little tree. They don't get too big, 3 to 4 metres tall. Lots and lots of colour in the garden at this time of year, because the only thing you see at this time of year is the flower. There's not the green leaves on them at the moment. They're all out in your garden centres. So if you want to go to your local garden centre, you'll get your best choice of magnolias, deciduous magnolias at this time of year. But there is a downside to them. There's always a but, and that is Newcastle and the Hunter, they just don't like the really, really scorching, from December through January, those really hot summer months. Look, I guess a lot of plants don't. But the trouble with magnolias is that they really show it. They wear those hot summer months on their sleeve. And the way they do that is all their leaves go sort of brown and shriveled around the tips. They're just not a really attractive plant through that period of the year. But if you want some colour at this point in time, a nice prunable tree that's not going to get out of control and take over your garden, deciduous magnolias, down to your local garden centre, plenty of varieties to check out at the moment. Look, the other thing I was just going to have a quick chat about was it's time to get potatoes in the ground. I'm a great lover of the old spud.
I really like eating them, yeah.
Oh, I do. Look, I'll eat them in almost any form, boiled, mashed, chips. I don't mind the old chip now and again with lots and lots of
in
salt
the
on
air
it.
Fryer with garlic oil and
my grandfather back in the day was the old balsamic vinegar type one, so I don't mind them. But look, the trouble with potatoes is that they just take off and they, you know, run an absolute muck in your garden. So either you need to be containing them in some sort of raised garden bed so they can spill out, you know, and over that and down, or you just need basically a farm. A few thousand acres to grow potatoes, or you just need an island called Ireland. Then you could also grow potatoes as well if you wanted to. Look, they're really easy to look after, though. They take about 3 to 4 months to come good. Now, the way you notice that they're starting to ripen under there, you might start to see them pushing up out of the soil. You'll also start to see the leaves starting to yellow off. At that point in time, you sort of stick your hands down around the soil and go, "Oh, are these potatoes big enough?" If they are, yep, time to get them out and boil them or whatever you want to do with them. If not, you can leave them in for a couple more weeks. And that will, if you have nice, easy-to-grow potatoes.
Lovely. Okay. And lastly, spring bulbs.
Yes, it is that time, isn't it? Out to your garden centre, hyacinths, jonquils, daffodils, all of those bulbs are there ready to go at the moment. You have to get them in fairly quickly if you want some flowering now. But, I mean, that said, daffodils and jonquils, they'll, you know, almost come back from nothing. So give them a bit of a go. Grape hyacinth, fantastic for smells.
Okay. And just quickly, we've got Jan from Currumbong on the line. Hi, Jan. How can we help you?
I've got a mandarin tree it's a dwarf one in a pot. And I just want to know, all the leaves are going yellow. And is it too much water?
Oh, look, how much are you watering it at the moment, Jan?
I'm not watering it at all, but it's got a bit of water in the tray.
Okay, so look, citrus don't like, let's call them wet feet. Don't necessarily like having, water sitting in a saucer. It then soaks back up through the pot and they don't like being in soggy conditions.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Radio. So, look, when you want to water a citrus, that's absolutely fine. But, you know, just say you see it starting to come into the bottom of the tray, for instance, and that's probably, you know, when you'd give it a break and then let that soak through. It's the same. Citrus don't like living in... like clay soils, for instance, or, you know, down the bottom of a hill where there's a lot of runoff. So, they love a good old drink when they're setting their fruit because you don't want the flower to drop and you want, you know, nice juicy mandarins or, you know, lemons or whatever you're growing. So they like a good old drink at that point in time, especially when there's winds blowing.
It didn't have any blossoms on it or hasn't got any, but... Yeah.
Okay. And look, the other thing, Jan, are you feeding the plant?
No.
Yeah. So I'd get some liquid fertiliser. We've been talking about all sorts of different fertilisers today, but jump down to your local garden centre. They will be able to help you out with some liquid fertiliser. Like I mentioned, you know, like there's the old-fashioned Thrive people have usually got in their shed. So if you've got some of that, mix it up in the watering can and water that over the plant. You can put it over the foliage as well if you want to and do that every couple of weeks, and it just makes for a much generally healthier plant for you.
Good. Thank you very much.
Not a problem, Jan. Always happy to help.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Bye. And lastly, I was just talking to your mum and I got myself an orchid.
Oh.
And I was just wondering about the orchid, what did she call it? Is it like orchid soil?
Well, it is a potty mix.
Right. I'm hopeless. Yeah. I called it dirt and she looked at me and went, Amanda. Just wondering, can I use it on other flowers?
Well, look, you could. Now, the trouble with orchid potty mix, and it's always very, very barky, it's very open because orchids, generally, you know, like even little Phalaenopsis orchids, they live on the branches of trees in the rainforest. So their root system's really just for clinging on. So you just need to have, you know, if you're going to use that, you just probably mix it with some other potting mix.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and just sort of get rid of it that way.
That's a good idea. Wonderful.
Dilute it out.
I will. Well, thank you very much, Scott Sharp, and it's been a lovely gardening talk back.
Thanks, Amanda.